السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're coming now to the conclusion of the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. We're discussing the views of certain people, you know, the praises or the things they said about him. So Ali ibn Hussein, meaning Zainul Abidin rahimahullah, was asked about the status of Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما in relation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it is like their status today. They are in the same bed, in the same qabr as he. That's how they were in life, and that's how they are currently after they passed away their qabrs. Qubaysa bin Jabir said, I kept Umar Rinnanu's company, and I did not find anyone reading the Quran Sharif more than him, and neither anyone with better knowledge and understanding of Allah Ta'ala's deen more than him. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, if you want your meetings to be pleasant, your mashwaras, your meetings, increase therein the remembrance of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu an. He also said, any household which did not feel his loss is a bad household. If a household doesn't feel the loss of Umar radiallahu anh, that's a bad household. Now we come to views of contemporaries. We discuss Sahaba Naunum, we discuss few views of the Tabi'in. Now we come to contemporary scholars and authors. So Dr. Muhammad Fahham, so he was a person from Al-Azhar University. Not to say we follow these people, but just to hear what they had to say about Umar radiallahu anh. So he said, Umar radiallahu anh's actions displayed his political mastery and numerous other talents he was gifted with. It also shows his age-defying genius in solving problems he faced during his khilafat, which lights up the way ahead for us in numerous desperate situations in our lives. Abbas Mahmud, he said, this great man is one of the hardest to criticize or find fault with. One of his plus points is that in making a judgment for or against him, being extremely minute in examining him leads to extreme admiration for him. So he mentions about his kitab. He wrote a kitab, this Abbas Mahmud. He says, it's neither a biography nor a history of his time. It's not a biography nor a history of his time, like history books which list reports, events, dates, etc. It's not that. On the contrary, it is an attempt to characterize him, to show out his personality, to study his life's phases, the characteristics of his greatness, and to use these characteristics to study psychology, behavior and facts of life. Umar radiallahu anh is counted as a man current and apt in these times that we live in too. The decisions he made and all that, if you apply it even in this zamana, you will see benefit. This because this is an era in which the slavery to the transgressing power has become widespread, and the callers to its beliefs claim that war and justice are opposites. If we can understand one great man like Umar radiallahu anh, we can root out the belief of the transgressing power, since we will then understand a man who was an avid warrior, but extremely just and fair. Today what we see, the people who have got the power, they become zani. Right? Umar known what power he had at his fingers, but he was just and fair. You know, the ajib thing, the West, they keep saying Islam was spread by the sword. Right? In reality,
democracy is spread by the sword. Not only by the sword, by tanks and machine guns and missiles and bombs and any country that doesn't want to go democratic. The superpowers of the world put embargoes on them, they put this on them, that on them, start bombing them and doing all. So who's spreading what by the sword? Here, Dr. Ahmed Shibli said, decision making was one of the most visible features of Sayyidina Umar Ranaunu's life as a khalif, which was replete with various events. Hence he protected the deen, he raised the flag of jihad, conquered lands, made justice easily available, instituted the first ministry of finance in Islam, made an organized army for defending and protecting the borders, he systemized ranks and salaries, initiated state archives and records, appointed governors, officers and judges, established coin money for transactions, he set up postal service, inaugurated a system of supervision of government and army officials, he enforced the usage of hijri dates in the state, made the land open and free without divisions and boundaries. There were no divisions, this country, that country. Whatever came under Muslim rule was all one. And he planned and built Islamic cities. Hence, he was truly the leader of the believers and the founder of the Islamic state. Ali Mansur said, Umar radiallahu anhu's letter to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu about dispensing justice 14 centuries before the constitutional era is the more perfect than what man-made legislation and laws for independence of judiciary, whatever they have achieved in all these years, that one letter of Umar radiallahu anhu to Abu Musa radiallahu anhu holds much more weight than whatever has been achieved thereafter. General Mahmud Khattab said, even though there were many factors behind the Islamic conquest, the biggest of these factors was that the conquest enjoyed the unique leadership traits of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, which despite the passage of a long time, have very rarely reappeared in anyone else. Nobody else had those sifat that he had. Very rare to find all those sifat in one person. Dr. Subhi Himsani has said, with the end of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's era, the era of the founder of the Islamic state, whose area was vast and resources assured, also ended. He was an exemplary guide and leader, a resolute and wise chief, a responsible caretaker, and a strong, just ruler. But he was also merciful and compassionate. He passed away in the line of duty, as a shaheed of truth and righteousness. He was among the truthful and righteous friends of Allah Ta'ala. His name would remain immortally shining in the annals of culture and jurisprudence. Sheikh Tantawi, rahimahullah, mentioned, whenever I come across more reports about Umar radiallahu anhu, my pride and love for him increases. I have read biographies of thousands of great Muslims and non-Muslim men. Obviously, we won't call non-Muslim men great, right? I found some of them were great in their ideas. Others were great in oration. Others were great in behavior. Or they were great in the impact that they had on people. However, I found Umar radiallahu anhu to be great in all aspects. He had great ideas. He had oratory power. He had akhlaq. Character. If you make a list of great jurists and scholars, he will feature among the top of the list. If he did not have anything except his wisdom and jurisprudence, he would still be great due to just that. If you gather great orators, his name would be among the top few. If you list the most seasoned legislators, military geniuses, or the most successful administrators, you will find Umar radiallahu anhu at the head of each group. And if you research leaders who founded countries and left their impact on earth, you will find no one more illustrious than Umar radiallahu anhu. On top of this, he had great character and personality. Then even non-Muslims, Orientalists, they too praised Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? This one, Sir William something, he wrote, "Simplicity and duty were his guiding principles. Impartiality and devotion, the leading features of his administration. Responsibility so weighed upon him that he was heard to exclaim, 'If only my mother never gave birth to me. Then I wouldn't, if only I had been a stalk of grass.'" That's how he used to feel. His sense of justice was strong. The choice of his governors was free from favoritism. He had whip in hand, and he would walk the streets and markets of Madina Munawara, ready to punish slanderers on the spot. And so the proverb, "Umar's whip is more terrible than another's sword." But with all this, he was tender-hearted, kind. Numerous acts of kindness are recorded of him, such as relieving the wants of the widows and the fatherless, that means the orphans. Right? In the British Encyclopedia, it is mentioned, with regards to him, with regards to Umar radiallahu anhu, a strong ruler, stern towards offenders, but himself ascetic, zahid, nothing to do with the dunya, wanted nothing of the world. Right? He was so ascetic to the point of harshness. He didn't want the dunya. He was universally respected for his justice and his authority. Professor Washington, I think his name is pronounced Irving, not Irving, although it got an R there. I think it's pronounced Irving. So he wrote a book, Muhammad, we will say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Khulafa. And he wrote Muhammad and his successors. Right? So he writes, "The whole history of Umar radiallahu anhu shows him to have been a man of great powers of mind, inflexible integrity and rigid justice. He was more than anyone else the founder of the Islamic empire, confirming and carrying out the inspirations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aiding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with his counsels during his brief khilafat, and establishing wise regulations for the strict administration of the law throughout the rapidly extending bounds of the Muslim conquest. The rigid hand which he kept upon his most popular generals in the midst of their armies and in the most distant scenes of their triumphs gives signal evidence of his extraordinary capacity to rule. In the simplicity of his habits and his contempt, meaning his dislike, for all pomp and luxury, he emulated the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He endeavored incessantly to impress the merit and policy of the same in his letters to his generals." Dr. Michael Hart, in his book, he wrote, the name of his book was The 100 A Ranking of the Most Influential Persons in History. 100 Most Influential. So he writes there, he says, "Umar radiallahu anhu's achievements are impressive indeed. After Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the principal figure in the spread of Islam." He's talking about the conquest, right? "Without his rapid conquest, it is doubtful that Islam would be nearly as widespread today as it actually is. Furthermore, most of the territory conquered during his reign has remained Arab ever since. Obviously, of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the prime mover, should receive the bulk of the credit for those developments. But it would be a grave mistake to ignore Umar Ranaunu's contribution. Now, they talk from an academic and, you know, secular. We know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, everything is due to his efforts. Umar radiallahu anhu himself said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu paved the way. He made it easy. Now we have to just, he did all, in our terminology, he did all the spade work. All the difficult work was done by him. All the prep. Now to put up the building is easy. So we come to the last page of this kitab now. The demise, the death, we already discussed how Umar ibn passed away. But the demise of the just, rightly guided Khalif, Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, closed one of the most thought-provoking and pure, you know, chapters of history. Right? It talked about a unique man with a unique style. He had no desire to gather wealth. Power and authority did not tempt him and did not make him deluded from the path of truth. He did not prefer his sons or relatives over the general public. His biggest concern was to make Islam victorious. You see, today this is one of our biggest problems. We make the work that we're doing the objective, not Islam. Although whatever work we're doing is in the name of Islam, but the work becomes the objective, not Islam. For them, Islam was the objective. His biggest desire was to make Islamic law supreme. In other words, the world must be governed by Sharia. His biggest wish was to enforce justice and fairness among his subjects. And all of these were realized in a short period of time, so short that it is counted as nothing in the history of nations and states. In just 10 years, he achieved all of this. It can only be the help of Allah Ta'ala, right? Studying this beautiful biography will help our new generation achieve Umar Ranaunu's resolve and determination, which will restore our past glory. It will teach the coming generations that the affairs of our Islamic nation can be set straight only in the way they were straightened in its earliest days. It will also help Islamic scholars and callers to Islam to follow that golden period by learning about his ilm, his characteristics, his methodology. This will help our ummah to replay its cultural role once again. So the author says that I finished writing this book on Wednesday, the 13th of Ramadan Sharif, 1422 Hijri, corresponding to the 28th of November 2001, at 7:05 a.m. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala. I ask Allah Ta'ala to accept this work, open the hearts of people to benefit from it, and to bless it. Allah Ta'ala the Exalted said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم. Whatever of mercy Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. And whatever He may withhold, none can grant it thereafter. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. So we can say that Alhamdulillah, we have concluded this particular biography of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, on the 1st of Dhul-Hijjah, 1426. 1446. And corresponding with the, what's the English date today, right? 29th of May, 2025. Allah Ta'ala accept. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Allah make it beneficial for the ummah. We must Today people are listening more than they are reading. So that's why we trying to put this thing in audio. So we did the Seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We did the biography of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now the biography of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Now inshaAllah ta'ala, if Allah gives us tawfiq, we'll commence with the biography of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته